has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is united together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together and become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
And thank you to you as a church family, to our church board, and David, for your kindness to us this morning. I feel a little embarrassed because we get appreciated week after week. I'm not sure we need a special Sunday, at least if I speak for myself. I do really feel that every week people from our church encourage me. And I hope, I trust, and I see that we are encouraging one another. So, but thank you for your support. I really do feel that we are a family, and that's such a good thing. And we're going to think a little more about being God's family this morning. But first, I'd like to make a confession. Some of you may have heard this sermon before. I have to admit, I got behind on things this week, and then I got a little bit sick. So I'm reusing an old message. Those of you who were at New Beginnings Camp in 2012 might remember this. But the good thing is, I think we have pretty short memories. 2012 is quite a while ago, but we'll see how good your memories are. I think if we, we were thinking about family this morning, and you know, I think it's important right away to say that not everything goes smoothly in families, even in God's family. And I know that here among us, there's people who have felt discouraged by God's family. And if we think about the families we know well, we quickly realize that every family has problems. Even though we love one another, there are many times of frustration. At times, we let each other down. But a family is where we can be most real. We can be ourselves for better or worse. In a family, we can learn to love each other as we really are, not as we pretend to be. If I asked you, who here grew up in a model family so they can tell us how a perfect family works? Would anyone put up their hand? I don't think so. And I think that I grew up in a pretty good family. Deep down, we loved each other, and we're all friends now. But my sisters and I used to argue terribly. One of my sisters and my father and I, us three in particular, we enjoyed a good debate around the kitchen table. And as the discussion would grow more heated, we would become more and more concerned to prove that we are right. And the debate would turn into an outright argument, and then we might start to criticize each other personally. Until my mother would get misty-eyed and quietly slip away and leave the table. That killed the debate. And it often ruined dinner. And we three all felt very guilty. The problem was that we each wanted to be right, while Mom just wanted us to get along with each other. Now that I'm raising my own family, you might think, well, I've learned all those lessons, and you know, it's a pastor's family, we must do it all right. But no, you know better. It's not like that. In 2012, I was asked to speak at New Beginnings Camp, and the topic I was assigned is the same as this morning. It was the family of God. Little did I know that my family would have some troubles along the way. Because my wife Sandra was at work, I packed up with the kids. We picked up Sandra from work and headed down the road, and about 2 hours down the highway, we pulled off to stop at a gas station to use the washroom. And in the gas station, I noticed one of my sons, I won't say which one, coming out of the washroom without any shoes on. His feet were bare. And I scolded him for this. Why would he go into a public washroom with bare feet? And he told me he didn't have any shoes. I answered, well, then go get them from the car. He said, I don't have any shoes in the car. I asked, well, what about your flip-flops? You could have at least put your flip-flops on. He said, I don't have any flip-flops either. And I asked, well, okay, what about in your suitcase? You could get them out. And he answered, no, I didn't pack any shoes or flip-flops in my suitcase. Then I realized he had left for our weekend at camp without bringing a single piece of footwear. He was going for the weekend completely barefoot. No shoes, no flip-flops, not even socks. I was so frustrated. I lectured him there in the gas station, criticized him at length. And we had to stop at the next shopping area to buy him socks and shoes. But the worst surprise was still to come. When we arrived at the camp, 3-hour drive away from home, I realized that I had forgotten my entire suitcase. And I see the Suarez is sitting there. We called them to go break into our house, and because they were coming that night, and bring my suitcase. So they encountered our neighbor along the way, and she kindly didn't call the cops on them, and they brought my suitcase. Here I had lectured my son for forgetting shoes, and I had forgotten all my clothes. I had been asked to speak about God's family when I hadn't treated my own family fairly. So am I the only one whose family seems a little crazy sometimes? Where do we find a model family? Well, what if we look in the Bible? Surely we can find some model families there. The very first family, how about them? How did they do? How did the first two sons, first two brothers get along? Well, one killed the other. Not a very good start. The nation of Israel was meant to be an extended family that showed God's goodness and greatness to the world. But their father, Abraham, lied about his family. He told Pharaoh that his wife was his sister. Just because he wanted to protect himself, he disowned his wife. And did Abraham learn his lesson? Well, not very quickly. In fact, he did the same thing when facing another king. And later, his son Isaac pulled the same stunt. These were the human fathers of the family of God. Isaac's son Jacob became the father of 12 sons, the 12 tribes who became the nation of Israel, God's people. Was it because they were a model family? Not at all. Jacob's sons were terrible rivals. They even sold one brother, Joseph, into slavery. If you read the things they did in the Bible, I mean, these are not things you want to read to your children, perhaps. They were really messed up. And later we see that King David's family was no better. The strange thing about this is that God promised that a Savior would come from this very family tree. Why would God choose such a messed up family to bring the Savior? Well, I believe it was to give us hope. When we have trouble in our families or in our church family, we have hope because we see how God redeemed the nation of Israel, the first family of God. The Bible calls us, the church, God's family, his household. Ephesians 2 says, as Greg read earlier, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. In the Bible's original languages, the same word is used for household as for house or family. Some other languages have the same similarity. We are God's house, not this building. We are God's house, God's household, God's family. So here we are today, from every corner of the globe, together as part of God's family. We are not part of God's family because we are good. We are not part of his family because our own biological families are good. We become part of God's family when we admit we are messed up. When we admit that we need Jesus to save us and to change us, then we join his family. He brings together people from very different backgrounds and joins us together in a new family, his family. God used normal, messed up families to bring the Savior, Jesus. And through him, everyone who trusts in him can be adopted into a new family, the family of God. Each of us, as we come in, are far from perfect, so we will have friction, differences, and conflicts. But through it all, God is working away at us to improve us, to make us into a people that show his grace. I want to show you photos of two kinds of rocks and think about what's different about them. The first one, if Richard, you can put the first photo up there, please, is a photo of some rocks that haven't lingered in any water. They are in a dry, arid place where the rain quickly washes off of them. And you see, they are jagged and rough, very sharp. Now, these are rocks that are in a river. And you notice right away the difference. They are rounded off. They are smooth. Most of their rough edges have been worn away. Why? Well, the water forces them to bump into each other repeatedly, minute after minute, day after day, year after year. They rub away each other's rough edges. And that's like family, like God's family. If we are left on our own, we may be content, but we will never change or grow. We will be left alone with our sharp edges. So God puts us in his family. He is the river of life, and we are all rocks in his river. But being in the river causes us to bump against each other. Our rough edges collide and cause friction. But through it all, God is transforming us as his family so that we all become gems. He puts us in a church to work together so that our rough edges will collide. And this rubbing together is transforming us into something beautiful. Together, we become the jewels God intends us to be. It cannot happen in isolation. You may know this verse, 2 Corinthians 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. God is changing us. But notice the next verse. It says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we see that God has made us into a new creation. He has done this by reconciling us to himself. Then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation to help others be reconciled to God and to one another. Life in the church is a constant process of reconciliation with God and with each other. The need for reconciliation presupposes that we have conflict. If we didn't have conflict, there would be no need to be reconciled. But in this world, we will never be perfect. We will all make mistakes. We all sin, even against one another right here. We are like river rocks bumping into each other. But God is at work in our hearts to keep us reconciling with each other, to keep smoothing out our rough edges. So don't be discouraged if being part of a family, even a church family, is a bumpy ride. Think of those rocks in the river. They have a very bumpy ride. In God's family, we will always be bumping into each other. God is smoothing out our rough edges, turning us into the gemstones He intends us to be. Together, we can show God's glory to this world, a world that desperately needs to experience reconciliation. He is making us into a new creation. And He is making us His ambassadors of reconciliation. Today we celebrate communion. We remember how Jesus paid with His blood to adopt each one of us into His family, to reconcile us to Himself and to one another. So let's celebrate the grace of God that pours all over our jagged edges as we are in that river of life together. Let's prepare our hearts to celebrate around His table. Let's sing together, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Number 201 in your hymn books, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. And I'll ask those who are serving to come forward.